Ladies, puberty, PMT, pregnancy, the menopause. Yes, your hormones have been taking you for a ride for years. Hot flushes on the bus, menopausal meltdowns in the office, whatever those hormones have made you do, Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse are here to lend a sympathetic ear. Why not write in and share your hormonal hell with the girls? Don't worry, they've heard it all before. It's time to put those hormones in the firing line. This is Dear Hormones. Welcome to your safe space, ladies.
Happy Boxing Day, everybody!
Happy Boxing Day. Happy Boxing Day, Jenny.
Thank you very much. Happy Boxing Day, Kate. I hope everyone had a brilliant day yesterday, brilliant Christmas Day. Kate, what would your ideal Christmas Day have been like if we, because we're pre-recording, guys, just to say that we are, this is like well before Christmas now. So we are pretending we've had a Christmas Day, Kate. What would you have liked your Christmas Day to have been like yesterday?
So, well, my ideal Christmas would be on a hot sunny beach somewhere, but that's not what my Christmas Day will be like this year. So I would like for my children not to, well, my youngest child not to wake me up too early. So if you could please, little one, please don't wake up before nine. Thank you.
Yeah. And although it's Boxing Day, Kate, so it might have happened already. It's happened. It probably did happen. I'll tell you what then, instead of telling me what your dream Christmas Day would be like, just tell me this one thing and then we'll report back. What time do you think your little one woke you up yesterday?
Probably eight.
Eight? That's really good. That's not late. I know. Oh, okay. So if it's any earlier than that, so hang on. So I'm going to do, well, let's have a little game now. You're saying eight. I'm saying she came in at seven. Ooh. Let's see who's first, who wins.
Lumen hope it's not seven. All right.
Right. Anyway, so this is a bonus episode, everybody. So what we've done is we've gone through our previous two seasons and we've picked out some of our favourite letters. So the first one's a little Christmassy number that you might remember. The second letter is one of our all-time faves, isn't it, Kate? What was that?
Oh, it's Baby Clinic from Eileen in episode two, right back in our very first series.
And then we've got Postman Hat. That's a really great letter, isn't it? About it. That's, well, should we say what it's about? No, just listen to it. And then the last one
is Mini Cheddars, which is a brilliant rage story. Yes, that I think many people can relate to.
Definitely relate to that. I think you and I can probably both relate to that now.
I think so, actually. Yeah.
Anyway, happy Boxing Day. Happy New Year, everybody. And we're going to be back. We're having a 2-week break now, so we'll be back in January. See you then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is called Jingle Bells, and this is from Bella in Swansea. She says, "Dear Jenny and Kate, I hate noise. Little noises, like the crunching of a crisp packet, the sound of chewing, someone tapping their foot repeatedly, that kind of thing. I've noticed, though, that this petty hatred of mine has become almost intolerable since entering my perimenopausal years."
This has actually got a name, hasn't it? This is a diagnosable thing.
Yes, it has. I think have we talked about this before? I think like in season one, I've got a feeling we have now.
I think we maybe have.
There is a name. But also, I know that this is also a perimenopausal thing because loads of my friends have started to say it to me about chewing in particular, listening. Mm. And I've got it a little bit. Mm. Like when my hearing my son chewing next to me, it's starting to drive me mad. So I'm with you, Bella. I am with you. Okay. Rewind to Christmas 2019, and I'm quietly in the kitchen preparing the dinner. I always host Christmas Day. I love it. But the thing I love the most is the hour or two I have first thing in the morning all by myself. It's become something of a ritual, listening to Christmas carols on the radio and pottering about in a state of Christmassy bliss before the mayhem kicks off later on. Oh, yes, I can imagine that because we talked even last week, didn't we, about that me time that we love to have, us mums.
Everybody needs it.
This particular year, my husband's elderly aunt, let's call her Maud, had come to stay and, unlike my two teenage daughters, was not one for a lie-in. Into the kitchen she walks during my quiet time, my precious, sacred quiet time, and starts to make a cup of tea. You might be thinking that this alone is the reason for my letter, but you'd be wrong. Maud had made a recent purchase, one that she was immensely proud of, and unbeknownst to her, was about to wreak havoc on my entire day. She had purchased a pair of fluffy Christmas-themed slippers, and sitting proudly on top of those slippers was a pair of small, festive bells. Everywhere Maud went was accompanied by the jingle jangle of these tiny little bells, and the noise was driving me crazy. Cue the sound effect. Over to the kettle. Jingle jangle, jingle jangle. Over to the sink. Jingle jangle,
oh,
jingle
Jenny.
Jangle. Gets milk out of the fridge. Jingle jangle, jingle jangle. Back to the kettle. Jingle jangle, jingle jangle.
Hang on, you and didn't so say your bells. Play and, the bells.
And so on and so on. All fucking day. I don't know why I love a swear word, Kate.
Oh, you do, don't
every
you?
Every time one comes up, I'm like, yes.
You see, I still get that slight uncomfortable feeling in my tummy when I hear one.
That just shows how cross she is, doesn't it? I love it when someone throws it into a letter because you kind of really start to sense their rage. And as if that wasn't enough, I also hate whistling. Absolutely hate it. And along with the constant jingle, jangle, jingle, jangle, she'd also started whistling out of time to the lovely Christmassy hymns I was listening to.
Oh, it's not going to go well. Oh dear, she wouldn't like your Snoopy, would she?
She would not like Snoopy. She would not like my Snoopy who sings and dances.
We haven't. Can you play, give us a burst of Snoopy right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I'll just give us a quick burst of Snoopy. Come on, Snoopy. Over we go. Here we go. Are you ready? Happy Christmas, everyone.
I love him.
Oh, a little creepy laugh at the end. Yeah, so no, she would not like Snoopy. So she carries on here. She says, my brother, funnily enough, hates irritating little noises too. Although I don't think his is exasperated by his hormones. And he was over for the day with his family too. As soon as he arrived and heard Maud jingle jangling wherever she went, he knew I'd be raging. He even sent me a video clip whilst I was in the kitchen of Maud sitting on the sofa, intensely shaking her foot, the way people do without realising it. My brother was in fits of giggles, knowing how pissed off I would be. My husband absolutely loves his aunt, so there was no chance whatsoever of me asking him to get her to take them off, and no way of me explaining to him about how much she was annoying me. But later in the day, after what felt like an eternity of relentless jingle jangling, my husband left the room. And fully pent up with hormonal rage, I spun around to her face and shouted, Maud, will you please stop shaking your foot? Those slippers are driving me insane.
Awkward Christmas day.
The room fell silent. And Maud looked crestfallen. Oh, poor Maud. She was so excited about her Christmas slippers. Without saying a word, she took them off, causing the little bells to go hell for leather as she did so, and put them on the floor. My whole family stared at me in both shock and amusement. It was then that my husband, completely oblivious to the situation, came back into the room, whistling a Christmas carol, completely out of time. And I went back into the kitchen to find something alcoholic to see me through the day.
This next letter is sent to us by Eileen, who lives in North London. And her story is entitled Mother, Daughter, Granddaughter, A Story of Hormones. Oh, we've got the three generations here.
Brilliant.
And this is quite a long letter, Jenny.
Okay.
But looks exciting. Here we go.
Maybe I should get myself a cup of tea and
maybe you should settle in. Yeah. It all started innocently enough, as these things do. I'd envisioned taking my mother to her granddaughter's very first baby clinic after her birth in May 2007.
I was a first-time mother in a new country, grappling with life with a 7-pound, 1-ounce bundle of demands that I was completely unprepared for. Before giving birth, I never really spent time around babies. This was purposeful. I preferred the company of friends, travelling, focusing on higher education and exciting new jobs like working at an art gallery in San Francisco. Ooh, Eileen, you do have an exciting life.
I like this.
But then, after marrying a lovely Englishman and moving to London, the timing seemed right to start a family. I'm sensing Eileen's quite a writer. This is lovely. I was fortunate with my pregnancy. I felt generally well, no difficulties, and the severe migraines that I'd suffered for years stopped completely. The doctor explained that the pregnancy hormones most likely suited my body and hence the migraines had disappeared. And he even went on to comment that maybe I should have a lot of children if I wanted to be migraine free.
Oh,
lots of children. There's a solution. I am from hardy Celtic stock and I recalled how a great aunt of mine had 14 children. Yes, 14. Was she just trying to escape the crushing pain of chronic migraines? Maybe that was it.
That pregnancy can stop. This is great. Okay.
Anyone suffering 40? From migraines, this is the solution.
Yeah, exactly.
14 kids. I was not going to follow that model. Eileen's not following that model. Just a few weeks after my daughter was born, my parents flew to London from California to kindly help out. My mother, having grown up in a big Midwestern family, and of course raising her own children, is not at all intimidated by babies, and in fact she adores them. Perfect. Before being released from the hospital, the midwives had told me that I needed to take the baby to baby clinic, where she could be weighed and I could ask advice and meet other mothers. They made it all sound lovely. I envisaged a big, bright room filled with flowers and toys, new mother's peace.
You can imagine. It's not going to go this way, is it? It's not going to go this way.
Oh, haven't been in one of those rooms. Yeah, okay.
New mothers peacefully sipping tea and commiserating on the joys of motherhood. I must go to baby clinic, I thought. What a wonderful place to bring my mother as soon as she lands from San Francisco.
As soon as she lands.
As soon as she lands. We're going to go.
That's what she sat on that plane for. All those hours.
The morning of the appointment at baby clinic. Both my mother and I were utterly exhausted. For the previous 3 weeks, I had been struggling to get my daughter to latch correctly for breastfeeding. She was struggling to feed, often inconsolable, and she woke every hour during the night. My nipples were a scabbed, bloody mess, and I had entered into a parallel dimension of anxiety and sleeplessness. I spent my waking hours obsessively calculating how many ounces of milk the baby was getting. Was she underweight? Was she dehydrated? It was all I thought about. And my mother, who was not only jet-lagged, informed me that she had just come off hormone replacement therapy.
Sorry. After being...
So what a combination.
I can't stop laughing.
Have you been to baby clinic, Jenny?
I love the... This is building up to be probably my favourite letter that we've ever read. All the ingredients are there. We've got a new exhausted mum, the migraine hormone story, you know, tying in the mum that's jet lagged, and now the mum who's also not just jet lagged, but she's just stopped her HRT. Okay. Oh, carry on.
My mother, who was not only jet lagged, informed me that she'd just come off hormone replacement therapy after being on it for decades.
Oh my god. Oh god, this is great. Okay.
Her gynecologist wanted her to try going without taking premarin. I'm not sure how you say it. That, by the way, is made it's made from female equine urine. Goodness.
We said this wasn't going to be a medical, we're not medical experts, but here we are educating away, aren't we?
The cool gel dog mat.
Which is quite a medical term, even though it's not a medical thing. And now
Equine urine.
It's very kind of animal-based podcast. Okay.
Her gynecologist wanted her to stop taking the female equine urine just to see what happened. what's going to happen.
Let's see what happens. Tell you what, why don't you go and experiment whilst you're visiting your daughter and your new grandchild? What a perfect combination.
Oh, not now, I thought. One of us has to... This is not the time, Mum.
Not now.
One of us.
Can Eileen write to us every week?
Eileen, we want to hear more. Not now, I thought. One of us has to be strong. But my poor mother was suffering hot flushes every 15 minutes.
She was having
terrible joint pain and she couldn't sleep.
Yeah,
we were quite...
Been there.
You've been there. We were quite the pair. We bundled up my daughter in her buggy and we hurried out of the door to get to baby clinic. Everything's going to be fine when they get to baby clinic.
It's like this magical place where Care Bears live.
Having completely underestimated how long the walk would be and running late, we had to near jog up the hill to be on time. I was barely recovered from the birth. I was worried that my stitches were going to burst.
Stop it. Oh, Kate, I'm actually crying. I mean, not that I want her stitches to burst. This is how she's written it.
And I was just hoping that I'd remember to put breast pads in before leaving the house. Oh, that just brings me right back.
Oh, oh my God, this is so funny. Okay.
We finally approached a grey, blocky municipal building. With the address, Jenny.
I can't stop. Sorry.
This
can't be baby clinic.
No.
What's this baby place? What's this place?
Oh no. Hang on.
It can't
the address.
Be.
The address that they were looking for was displayed by the door.
What? Surely a mistake, Kate.
Could this be the esteemed baby clinic? There was no signage. There was just a middle-aged man sitting at a makeshift desk smoking a cigarette.
I'm actually having a hot flush. I actually am. From laughing so much. Oh my God, I'm sweating. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I think this is a whole episode right here, actually,
I think
Jenny.
I think it is.
Completely out of breath from pushing the fan. I tentatively asked if this was where baby clinic was.
Yes. Is here.
He said very gruffly while blowing smoke into my face. Oh, what a come down! Where are the flowers?
Oh my God, Care Bears!
Where are the Care Bears? Rainbow, where are they?
Rainbows, the music playing, cupcakes potentially.
Oh, we've got a cigarette smoke.
Oh, in a blocky grey building.
He pointed to the reception area, informs us that there is no elevator. Baby clinic.
I have to open a window, Kate. Hang on.
Go and open your window, Jenny.
I'm so hot. This is making me laugh so much. Okay, go.
You need Joy's cool water bottle.
Oh, I do. I really do.
Cool water bottle like Joy. And baby clinic is on the second floor. Park your buggy there. He gestures to a corner where other buggies are placed. My mother and I exchange a glance and we go in. My daughter is sound asleep, so I gently try to extract her from the pram to carry her upstairs.
Oh, do you remember those days, Kate?
Too clearly.
When they've gone to sleep and you're just trying to desperately keep them that way. Okay.
There's no elevator, so couldn't push the buggy into the lift. Got to take the baby out. At this moment, we notice, oh my goodness, a man wearing a very... I think you might need Joy's cool water bottle. Get ready.
I'm so excited.
Oh, it sounds pretty exciting. We notice a man wearing a very short and flimsy robe.
Where has she turned up? This grey blocky building. Is she definitely in the right place? my God. What's a man doing in a short robe at a baby clinic?
I can't possibly imagine.
She's not got to baby clinic yet, though, has she? So,
would you like to make a guess at what this man's doing, Jenny?
Well, I porn? I don't know. Let's find out. Come on. I really do wish I had a cup of tea now.
Wearing a very short and flimsy robe, is frantically pushing a button on the wall next to what appears to be a small dumbwaiter. Is this a little lift?
Yes, isn't it? Yeah, I always think of dumbwaiters as those ones that bring food down from a kitchen in a mansion. Am I right? You know, then it comes down and then delivers. Well.
The man is holding a towel. And
what's he got a towel?
He's holding a towel and some shampoo. And he's growing increasingly annoyed that nothing is happening. He bends over to bang on the door of the dumbwaiter, exposing far too much. What, you have bothered before, is it, Eileen?
I can't cope. Sorry, I'm just making a proper fan. To remember as well, Kate, that her mum, who's just off the HRT, just got off a plane and is jet lagged, is now seeing this, where her daughter lives, where her grandchild is going to baby clinic. A man is now
he's exposing himself to them. An utterly surreal experience.
Just the phrase exposing himself far too much.
So my mother and I grab the baby. Cover her eyes and the diaper bag. I think Eileen's American. And the diaper bag, and quickly head upstairs. I step carefully when I notice that the stairs are marble and slick from the moisture from people's shoes.
don't stop a minute.
Is this really safe to be carrying newborns up such slippery stairs?
The detail in this letter is priceless, isn't it?
It is wonderful. We pass another man. He is transfixed by tapping with a hammer on the banister winding up the stairwell. What is going on? There's no time to think about it. So we've got one man exposing himself. By the dumbwaiter.
They're cool.
And we've got another man tapping with a hammer on the banister. What is going on? Well, that's what Eileen wonders. Is what is going on? No time to think about it. We get to the second floor and enter a large, dark, crowded room.
This is it. The big reveal.
Crowded room filled with plastic chairs.
Oh, yeah.
Large stained mats.
No.
And weary midwives. This must be baby clinic.
Oh no, shattered dreams.
We're given a number and told to wait to be called.
Oh, that's even worse, just to be given a number.
My mother is completely out of breath from the exhaustion of getting here. She turns to me and she says she feels an almighty hot flush coming on. Her hair is soaked. I can see sweat cascading down her face.
Cascading!
That's a great word.
Eileen, oh my God, I love Eileen.
I rifle through the diaper bag looking for a muslin square to give her. Well, that's handy. That's good. You'd need a muslin
yes.
square. At that moment, the room has taken on a somber atmosphere because a social worker has arrived with a number of babies, one of which all of the midwives are crowding around to discern if the baby is ill. My goodness.
Oh no. Oh God, it's taken a dark turn.
It's taken a dark turn. I place my daughter on the mat in front of me and she lies there, unusually still, stares at the ceiling. she's picked up on the vibe.
Even
the
her daughter
vibe.
Gets it. Yeah.
Even the newborn baby.
This surely isn't baby clinic.
Not right.
Why am I in a blocky grey building, dark with plastic chairs?
Why is the mat that I'm lying on got stains on it?
Where are the Care Bears?
Oh, the sweet smelling flowers. My mother is drenched. So I hand her the muslin, which she opens up. She places her whole face into the cloth and she shakes her head back and forth. trying to soak up the sweat.
I've got such a visual image of that.
Just then a young man. There's so many characters in this. It's just wonderful. Just then a young man holding a tiny baby asks me if the seat next to us is taken. He looks startled like a deer in the headlights, and he looks back and forth from my mother with her head in her hands to the strangely quiet baby at my feet. Oh my God. I am so sorry, he says. He quickly turns away and looks somewhere else.
Can you see?
I nudge my mother and I tell her it looks as if she is crying over the baby.
Oh no, like something awful's happened to the baby.
to Eileen's baby.
Oh no. Oh no. The fact that the guy said, I'm so sorry, and walks somewhere else.
What a tale. Wow. My mother is mortified and embarrassed. We are eventually seen by the midwives. The baby is weighed, not underweight, despite my agonising. We discuss size and colour of baby poo, and I get a lecture on boiling fennel bulbs to increase milk production. Unfortunately, no tea or quiet contemplation. And by the time we leave, the room is buzzing with screaming babies and toddlers, and the nappy pail has been upended. That too! No! That was all that was missing. Total nightmare. I hope she has a nice cup of tea when she gets home.
Oh, she deserves it.
There is no sign of the man in the flimsy robe. Hopefully he found his shower. By the time we enter the apartment, both my mother and I are drenched in sweat. My blouse is totally wet. I clearly did forget the breast pads. The baby is crying for a feed. All three of us are miserable with fatigue, hunger, and riding the hormonal roller coaster. Mother, daughter, and granddaughter all weep.
there's something weeping. About the word weep as well, isn't there? That really sums up a mood.
As my mother and I take turns holding the baby while circling the dining table. It is then that my mother thrusts her fist into the air and she hollers, I am going back on that fucking HRT.
Postman hat. Okay, this comes from Deb.
Can you sing us the little jingle,
Postman please? Postman hat. And I won't say what happens in the end, but it's something okay. I'll probably make up another song at the end of the letter. Okay. Postman hat from Debs in Northampton. Dear Jenny and Kate, having listened to one of your previous letters about a disastrous flooding episode in the boardroom, I thought I would tell you about my own hellish experience that only happened a few months ago. Friends of ours own a restaurant, and they had invited my husband and I, along with three other friends, to have dinner there. We were incredibly excited, as it was just after lockdown, so going out at all was something of a novelty. I'd put on a pair of jeggings, brackets, elasticated waistbands had become my friend in lockdown, and mine, by the way,
and still are, yeah.
And a lovely new top that hung just below the top of the trousers. I felt great. I hadn't put makeup on for months, let alone do my hair, and the excitement of being let out was off the scale. We'd offered to drive our three other friends to the restaurant. So there we were, all in the car, my husband and I in the front, them in the back. But a mere 5 minutes into our journey and disaster struck. I felt the familiar and dreaded whoosh of a full-blown flood. Completely out of nowhere.
Oh, God.
My periods are usually really regular, despite being in my mid-50s. But this one had come out of the blue and had taken me utterly by surprise. What to do? The three girls in the back, whilst friends of mine, were more friends with the restaurant owners, and I didn't feel at all comfortable enough to confide in them. I was starting to panic, whilst the dampness in my pants got worse by the second. Under my breath, I muttered to my husband, I'm flooding. You what? He replied. Flooding. I'm flooding. I'm bleeding beyond all belief. It's leaking onto my jeggings. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? He had nothing. He offered some words of comfort, but had no idea how to resolve the issue, and we both sat in stunned silence for a moment or two longer.
Oh, this is making me think of the story of the lady in the car with the Pringles can when the husband started emptying the...
When she needs to go for a wee, only this is blood.
Husband there did say, oh, I get that, and he emptied the Pringles can. I'm thinking, what could this husband do? I don't know. Come on.
Absolutely nothing. She desperately needs his help, doesn't she? And then she goes, so we both sat in stunned silence for a moment or two longer. It was then that I spied his favourite woolly hat. He's a postman. And this hat is worn almost every day on his rounds. He bloody loves it. Bloody being the operative word here.
That's too good.
Without a moment's hesitation, I grabbed the hat and started shoving it down my trousers whilst hubby looked on in abject horror. I could feel the blood immediately soak into the fabric, but even this, I feared, wasn't going to be enough to stem the flow. Quick thinking, though. It was then that we arrived at the restaurant. Hanging back and letting the three girls in the back get out first, I tentatively got out of the car where my friend and restaurant owner was waiting to greet me. The thing I remember most about this moment... The thing I remember most about this moment was the bulge. was the bulge. You know when I said about when I had that bulge in my pants from the panty pad that time at school?
The almighty bulge.
Yeah. The ginormous bulge in my skin-tight jeggings. Of the sodden and leaking postman's hat that was rammed down my pants. Oh my God. Oh. Debs, we feel for you. We feel your pain right now. Thankfully, this friend is someone I can tell anything to. So I quickly revealed my predicament and she hurried me off to the loo. I say hurried. It was more of a waddle as I tried not to dislodge the hat and make matters even worse. Oh, you know, that walk when, oh my God. I remember sitting on the loo and the blood just wouldn't stop coming. The hat, the precious postman's hat, was absolutely drenched and I just didn't know what to do. My wonderful friend then arrived with a first aid kit and took out some bandages. So I bunched them up and put them in my pants and I even wedged them up there too.
Oh, no.
As a makeshift tampon, a phrase no woman should ever have to utter. Oh, my God, Debs. Oh, my God. I mean, I'd have had to have just given up and gone home. I just don't know. Oh.
Oh, the blood just wouldn't stop coming, goodness. And what's she going to do with the postman's hat as well?
I know.
It's like it's drenched in blood. I hope she's got like a carrier bag.
Something, yeah. I still had the issue of my lovely new top not being anywhere near long enough to hide the blood stain on my jeggings. Oh. So my friend found a jacket that I could tie around my waist and that was how I left the bathroom and walked to my table. Oh. My first night out after lockdown had become a night out from hell.
Oh, she'd been so looking forward to it and she had felt so good about herself. She felt beautiful when she left that night.
Put her makeup on, she'd done her hair. Oh my God, I bet she looked amazing. Then she goes, as for the hat, a few spins in a hot wash later and it's back on his head doing the postman rounds. I told you it was his favourite.
And it has a story to tell. It's even more special, that hat now. Let's move on to our next letter. Now, this one is called Mini Cheddars. Sounds exciting. It's been sent to us from Lena in Southampton. Dear Jenny and Kate, I love your podcast. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Some of the stories shared have made me smile and feel a whole lot better about an incident that took place in our household recently. To put this into context,
I have found this last year really difficult. Lockdown, homeschooling and hormones have proved to be a potent mix. I think, Lena,
you're a potent mix.
You're not alone. On one particular occasion, my year six twins were set a frankly impossible task that infuriated me.
Oh, she's got twins as well.
She's got twins. That's hard, isn't it? In lockdown with
That's
homeschooling.
That's hard.
The kids were asked to write complex poetry with, I don't know how to say this, parataxis on the subject of human rights events. Oh my goodness.
God. I don't actually understand that whole sentence.
Parataxis. I've never heard of parataxis before.
What is it? Oh God, Kate, you've got a degree from Cambridge and you don't know what it is. So that makes me feel better.
They had no knowledge of human rights events. So how the hell could they write complicated poetry about it? You can see, I think you can feel that Lena is still feeling a bit of rage about this even now.
Oh my goodness, I really feel for this lady.
They could have written poetry about how they felt, or their neighbourhood, or they could even have escaped to another world for a few happy moments. But no, it had to be about human rights. Oh dear, it had to happen.
Oh my God.
It had to happen whilst they were homeschooling, and it had to include parataxis.
This is a disaster.
We've got a disaster on our hands. Oh, Lena. Parataxis, she repeats with an exclamation mark. Parataxis!
Like,
sorry,
what?
Too much. We are with you all the way. I didn't get it. My daughter didn't get it. My son didn't get it. Oh, dear. He did this, says that my son didn't see the point at all and he lost it.
He didn't see the point.
Sorry, just don't see the point, Mum. Don't see it, Mum. Not doing it.
That's a classic. I think that's a classic boy thing to say as well, isn't it? I don't see the point, Mum. Yeah.
And get ready because Lena's going to lose it too. It says, I completely lost it. And I am sorry to say that I picked up a plate of food and threw it in his direction whilst he sat on his bed. I then looked my son right in the eye. He looked back at me. We were at war. Oh. Without breaking eye contact, I took the packet of mini cheddars that I was holding and I clapped my hands over it hard, still staring. Ha!
This is so good. The phrase, without breaking eye contact. Can you imagine lifting that bag of cheddars but still staring him out? Like, are you ready?
She's clapped her hands over it hard. Then I... She says, but I wasn't finished yet. I scrunched the packet of cheesy biscuits around in my hands, breaking them into ever more tiny pieces. And then... Get ready. And then with one final mega glare.
Of course, all the time she's staring him out.
She hasn't broken the eye contact. I ripped the packet open, turned it upside down, and calculatedly scattered the entire contents all over his bed, right in front of my open-mouthed child. Victory! Jenny, I love it how you laugh at these stories. It's just so nice.
This is funny because I also have a son who's constantly hungry, always looking for a snack, and absolutely loves those mini cheddars. So if her son is anything like mine, that would have been an absolute disaster to see that packet of cheddars scattered all over his bed. Oh my God, you know what I'm thinking.
The open mouth. What are you thinking? Let's see. I think wonder whether you were going to preempt this next sentence, which I've just let out. Except that, of course, it wasn't a victory at all, since I have to live with the guilt of my childish outburst. And I was the one who had to fetch the Hoover.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Was that what you were thinking?
Yeah, it's all very well having that moment of rage, but then when you've got to go and do the clearing up afterwards, that's sort of a bit of eating humble pie, isn't it?
She was the one. Now, you think that's like quite a nice ending for the letter, but it goes on. There's more.
Oh, there's more. Great. Mm. How did the parataxis go?
Give us more. I'm not sure. Let's see. My eldest daughter, now at secondary school, had to put her live lesson on mute.
Oh, God. Oh, on mute.
She claimed to her teacher that the sound on her computer broke. She was trying to silence all the shouting in the background. It still shocks me how juvenile I became for those few minutes. My hormones were probably to blame, and I apologise to all of my kids for what happened and for other times when I have struggled with them, though I think that was the worst instance. Oh. I must say, however, that I am finding my hormones are on a more even keel since my kids returned to school.
I bet they are.
That's the end.
That was Dear Hormones with Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse. If you've got a story to share, email the girls at dearhormones@yahoo.com or they're @dearhormones on Instagram. Until next time...